I was complaining this morning about wearing these dark blue pants. I told my wife, I said, I hate these things because they pick up lint. You got to just keep fighting the lint battle. She said, don't worry about it. They're going to be worrying about what they look like, not what you look like. I said, that's right. I forgot that. That's right. I don't have to worry about that. Well, this lesson is the beginning of some stuff that the Lord's shown me about myself and about himself. And I think it'll be beneficial to his glory for us all to understand it. I want you to think about these things for a few seconds, because I don't ask you these questions just kind of to teach a lesson. I have no desire for you to learn anything mentally. What I want you to do is feel what God's telling you. I want your emotions connected back into your Creator. And so a lot of the times I ask questions to try to get you emotionally involved. And if I ask you a trick question and you're wrong, that stirs your emotions, not your intellect. It's kind of like, whoa, that's a trick question. It'd get your emotions involved. But anyway, here's a question for you. Have you ever felt used? You ever felt used? I know some people that I felt used by, and I didn't even actually get used by them, but I felt used. I told you the story about those four guys that climbed out of that Lincoln Town car up here on 9 Mile Road. Each one of them carrying a sleeping bag, and when the first two got out of the back seat with the sleeping bags and headed back toward that street out there to start panhandling, I said, oh, well, the guy gave him a ride from someplace. You know, that's good. Then the passenger gets out with a sleeping bag, and he was several feet behind him. They'd already took off. And then the driver gets out and locks the car with his sleeping bag. Man, I look at that stuff, and it makes me just feel used, even though I didn't give him a dime. I think, you know, you guys are nothing but a bunch of thieves and crooks and scam artists. You're taking money from people that got less than you got because they got a tender heart. You dirty rat. This friend of mine told me, he stopped by this guy, you know, we'll work for food sign. He stopped and offered him a job, washing some cars at his car lot. Well, I hadn't better do that. He offered him a couple other things. The guy didn't want to do anything. He knew he didn't want to. So what did he do? Went home, made himself a sign. He said, I offered this man work and he wouldn't take it. About 30 minutes, the guy was gone. He backed up and went away because everybody was laughing. I'm sure a bunch of people tried to give him money, too. What a joke, boy. That thing should have been on the news. It's where it should have been. But anyway, you ever loan anybody money? Didn't get paid back? Ever felt used? How about coworkers? You ever loan coworkers some money? Give me some money for lunch. Then you both forget about it. You think about it two or three times. Of course, the greedier you are, the more you think about it. What about friends or family? I had a situation where me and two other guys, Christians, got into a little business venture and we needed a piece of equipment and we all agreed to pay a third of it. I borrowed the money from another Christian friend. We bought the equipment, and when the business didn't work out too well, both of them bailed out and left me holding the bag to pay the bill. You ever feel used? You don't think about it at the time. But that's exactly what it is. You get to feeling used through these situations. Who's the worst? It's the ones you care for the most, because that's the ones you're most vulnerable to. Have you ever used anybody else? How about your parents? You ever use your parents? You know why parents are so gullible and stupid about being lied to? Because they love you and they want to believe you. You use their love. Your children use your love. Your friends use your compassion and your love. Those homeless people use the same thing. You ever feel used? Have you ever used your spouse's love? Man, you're getting a little bit close here, aren't you? You ever used your spouse's love? I mean, think about this a minute. You start thinking about going to breakfast or something. And you want to go. She doesn't really want it. You say, well, I want to go eat this. Or dinner. I want to go eat this. You know, she don't really like it. But you know she's not going to argue with you because she loves you. That's using her love to get what you want. There's a story about a guy who was out drinking and married to a Christian woman. I've told you this before, but it fits. It illustrates the point. He wasn't saved. She was. She prayed for him, tried to be the best wife she could be. He's out drinking. The bar's closed at 2 o'clock in the morning. Him and his buddy, and they're both drunk. Some guy he just met. Man, I'm hungry. I sure could use a good breakfast. Come on with me. He said, my wife will get up and cook it. He said, there ain't a woman on this planet get up 2 o'clock in the morning to cook a meal for a drunk husband. Mine will. Sure enough, they go to the house. wakes his wife up. Woman, get in here, fix us some breakfast. She comes in real polite, cooks some breakfast, makes some coffee, brings him a cup of coffee in. And the guy said, man, I'd never believe this, man. He said, what kind of woman you got? He said, well, she's a Christian woman. He said, what's that? Well, she got religion, goes to church. I said, man, I never seen anything like that. She goes back in the kitchen, the guy picks up a cup of coffee and sips on it. He says, watch this. Woman, this coffee's cold. Get me another cup. She walks in politely, changes the cup out, gets him another cup of coffee, goes back into the kitchen. That guy said, I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. Pretty soon he said, you know, that'd drive me crazy, you know. And he said, well, it is kind of driving me nuts. He said, why is she like that? Well, she wants me to go to heaven with her, and she thinks I ought to get saved and all this other stuff. So she treats me as good as she can because she says this is as good as I'll ever have it. He said, man, I'd be thinking about that. You know what that guy was doing? He was using his wife's love, showing off to his friends, making her look like a fool, intimidating her by it. You ever feel used? Oh, yeah, a couple of times. How about getting your spouse to do something you know they don't want to do, but they will because they love you? Get them to help you do this, to help you do that. Anything. You get right down to it. Who controls the TV in your house? And when you're not around, what do they watch? The stuff you watch? You see, you use their love. I don't care how subtle it is. You use it. And you don't appreciate it. They're the most vulnerable to you because they love you. That's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Well, it is to me. Now, once again, have you ever been used? How does it feel? That's a sinking feeling, isn't it, to be used? You ever tell the person when you got used how you felt? Not if you love them, you don't. You won't open your mouth. You won't say a word. You just go on along with it. Now, have you ever made God feel used? I've got a few nodding heads. You bet you have. In ways that you don't even imagine. Do you know he's told us about some of this stuff in the book? You ever read any places where God describes some of his feelings toward you when he feels used? So I can't remember any places like that. That's because you weren't looking for how he felt. You were looking for how you felt when you read it. You were looking about, oh man, what do you want me to know, God? What do you want me to know, God? You know why he doesn't come right out and tell you like that? Because he loves you. But he didn't leave it uncovered because he doesn't want you to be vulnerable. So he says, okay, I'm going to tell you about this. I'm just going to throw it out on the table. You do what you want with it. So where's the stuff like that at? Well, it's over in Ecclesiastes 5 to start with. There's a bunch of it in here, but that's why it's going to take so much time to cover some of this. And do you really want to know what God's like? Do you want to know him better? Maybe you really don't. I mean, he takes this stuff serious. Ecclesiastes 5, look at verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and now upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. You say, let thy words be few? Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, like, be quiet. And then down south, hush up. Then up north, shut up. That's the way it is. What's God saying? He's saying, you better think about this thing. What do I need to think about? You need to think about shutting up once in a while. So why is that? Well, look at verse 3. For a dream cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. So what's that mean? Oh, that's like a Christian praying, God, if you'll let me win the lottery, I'll do this or that. A multitude of dreams. Boy, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. He says, you better shut up. What about anything else you've ever wanted besides the lottery? You ever talk to God about stuff like that? Trying to make deals and conditions with him? Look at verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Now, I'm going to tell you something real shocking right here. God didn't make you for your pleasure. He made you for His. And that's something that you'd be well advised to think about every day that you live. I'm not here for my pleasure. I'm here for His. Isn't that a little counterproductive if you make God feel used? What did He say? He said, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. That's a little counterproductive, sounds like to me, if I was created for His pleasure. And He has no pleasure in me if I do these things. So that sounds a little bit stern, doesn't it? Yeah, it's stern. Once again, have you ever told God you'd do something? And if He'd do this, you'd do that? No? Really? Qualify you as a fool if you have. He just didn't let me win the lottery. I'd have done it. Well, maybe, maybe not. But these things are important to God. He takes them serious. When you made deals with God, unless you're totally different than me, you have in your past, you forgot all about. You forgot it. Were you afraid when you told Him that? Did you have any fear of God before your eyes when you said, I'll do this if you'll do that? You know who you were telling that to? You were telling that to somebody that can't be fooled. That's who you're talking to about this stuff. I mean, can't you imagine some of the chuckles God gets out of His kids? Oh, God, if you'll only send us so many souls this year, we'll do this or that. What is this? Well, there's no fear of God before their eyes. The one you're talking to when you say, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that, is the one that creates planets by His breath. And He can destroy both soul and body in hell. Look at verse 5. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay it. You may be thinking, well, I didn't say I vow. I didn't promise God anything. Is your word worthless unless you say I vow or I promise? Okay, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Crossing your fingers behind your back don't work. Why is that? Well, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know where else they are? They're inside your heart. They know what's going on the inside. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The one that can't be fooled. Think about that stuff. You think you have to sign a contract with God? What do you think you have to do in this situation? In this day and time, there's such a lack of moral character, we can't put trust in anyone that we don't know and have proven. You know that? Why do you think Brother Jack has him sign paperwork? They still rob him. They still steal from him. Brother Jim the same way, and probably every one of you the same way. You can't trust people today. There's a total lack. There's a void of moral character today. You can't trust anybody with anything. There's a movie called Hook that's got a good line in it. Old Robin Williams is telling his kid, I'm going to do so-and-so. His kid says, you never do it. He said, my word is my bond. And the kid responds, yeah, junk bond. That's right. That's a good line. What is that? Is your word your bond with God? A junk bond? He said, well, I don't tell God I do that much stuff. You think He's forgotten the stuff you already told Him? You might have, but He didn't forget. You think it's important to Him? More than you know. More than you know. Look at verse 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thine hands? You say, man, I don't understand that thing about that angel business. Well, it's the article there. It says, the angel. This is Old Testament. Probably the angel of the Lord. You say, what's that have to do with anything? Well, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ, I've always been taught, was probably the angel of the Lord back there. And that the angel, it's not angels. So probably that thing has to do with me like making a deal with Jack and then going to Justin and telling Justin, well, I just made a mistake on this one. You think Jack's going to take that? Why not go to Jack? Well, it's easier to go to one of his employees that don't know what's going on, so I can just dump the load and get out of here. Once again, you can't fool the one that can't be fooled. Have you ever known people whose lives just keep falling apart? Ever had things in your life start falling apart? No matter how hard you tried, you just couldn't pull things together? I wonder why that happens. Maybe God's getting even. Oh, man, he wouldn't do that. You have no idea what God will do. You know why? Because you don't know him well enough. You don't. None of us know him well enough to anticipate what he's going to do. To start with, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. If you're ever going to get this stuff straight between you and your maker, you're going to have to get it from what he told you. And it's going to have to be clear enough to you to understand it. So what's this lesson about? This is lessons about knowing the one that made you a little bit better. That's what it's about. It's about things in your life that make a difference. Whether you realize they do or not, they're the things that make a difference. And they not only make a difference to you, but they make a difference to him. Verse 7, for in a multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. Vanities, does that describe you? You feel like you're involved in a lot of vanities? Oh, that don't sound like me. Well, hold on to your hat. Psalms 39:5 says, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. You realize he didn't say man at his best state. He said every man. He didn't want you to think that he's talking about those other ones. You know what that is? That's all without exception. That's every man. You say, well, I don't think like this. No, I told you his thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So what's all of this about? This is about him trying to show you something about himself because he wants you to know him better. That's what it's about. This isn't about making you try to feel bad about stuff that you did. I have no desire to try to encourage or entice somebody down here at an altar and make more vows to God they're not going to keep. It's about trying to understand somebody that loves you so much that he's not going to come out and put the pressure on you about this stuff, just like you won't with your kids, even when they take advantage of you and make you feel used and lie to you left and right and take your offerings of love to them to try to help them in life and then destroy their lives with it. Anyway, you know why I said shut up? Because our efforts are vanity. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. We were talking about sin the other night, and somebody said, you think this was sin? I said, you think it wasn't? Why is that? Listen, I'm going to try to put some stuff together here for you to understand, and you really need to get a feeling for this. When I pray, I sin. When I preach, I sin. My tears of repentance need to be repented of, and my righteousnesses need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We know those verses, but we don't feel that way. I'm going to tell you something again. This is holy ground for me. Maybe just something that you hear and somebody else relate to him, but if you hadn't had these feelings, if you didn't experience this, you can't really understand what I'm talking about. But in that prayer meeting with God, when he put his arm around me and I felt those three fingers right there, I had repented of every sin I could think of. I asked to be washed in the blood. I pleaded the blood upon my thoughts. I pleaded everything I could just to get right with God so that in prayer, at least I wouldn't try to hide anything from him, just open. I just try to get clean before I pray. I try to do that most every time when I'm serious. You know what? I had done everything that I know to do and could do on this planet that I know of to get everything between he and I clean and pure. And I was saved, born again, washed in the blood, regenerated with a brand new spirit. And when he showed up, I felt as dirty and filthy as a garbage can out behind a restaurant. You know why? Because all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Man, at his best state is altogether vanity. None of us have any understanding or idea how much we need the one that saved us. None of us. We don't appreciate it. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm saved. And your thoughts are, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. It's going to be better by and by. No more pain, no more death, no more suffering. You don't have any idea how important it is. You know why? Paul says, I saw things that are unspeakable. How come? I've told you this little illustration before, but if you want to test somebody's loyalty and trust, you know, whether or not they're a thief and you hire them, you leave some money around where they can take it. Nobody will know about it. But they can't know about it. So one of the other employees goes in there and says some things. Hey, lift that money. Unspeakable. Unspeakable. Paul comes back and says, I can't tell you about this. You know how you know that was super important? Because Paul had that thorn in the flesh just to keep his mouth shut. That's how serious God takes that stuff. He even asked the Lord three times, Lord, take this thing away, take this thing away, take this thing away. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. How come? Because you need to be reminded all the time to shut your mouth. You're going to say some stuff I'll have to kill you for before you blab it. And I'm not ready to kill you yet. So I'm going to leave you with this constant reminder. I don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but I'll bet you every time he started getting close to saying something like that, he'd go, and he'd go, whoa. You ever seen these guys get tased? Some of them real slow learners. You ever seen that? They'll even hooked up, say, do it or I'll get you again. And they keep thrashing, hit them again. I wouldn't hesitate a minute to think that thing was just similar to that with Paul and God. He said, you know, you get a thorn in your foot. Oh, man, I forgot that was there. Spot in your finger that you hurt. You don't even know when he touched. Oh, man. About the time he gets ready, God just goes. Why? Because God takes the stuff serious. We use him all the time. We don't think seriously about how he takes it. Remember who you're talking to. Be in awe of your maker. You remember what that is? That's fear mingled with admiration. But fear thou God. The end of that verse. Fear thou God. Do we really fear God? This is God telling us about specific things that our individual relationship with him. He wants us to know him better. That's what this is about. This isn't about, oh, man, I guess I am a sinner. I shouldn't have never said this. Well, I can think of some things that I told him, and I should have done that. I'm going to have to be a little more careful. That's not about this. God has no desire to make you feel bad and guilty about some of this stuff. So why did he tell us that? Well, we're going to get to that in the next lesson or the next two lessons down the street. But there are some more reasons behind it. We'll close this morning. We'll continue this thing right where we left off. I mean, no introduction or anything. Next week, we'll just pick it up right from here and keep on going. Let's close in prayer.